Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You think premarital sex is cool, huh? You think it's funny? Well, guess what? It's not! It's not funny! It's a sin! And you're gonna burn in hell for having premarital sex! That's why I've never had premarital sex once in my entire life. And I turned out 100% okay. And God loves me. He told me himself.
So again, you better stop having premarital sex. It's gross. And it's not cool. Welcome, everybody, to the Class Act Podcast. It is Thursday, June 6th, the year of our Lord, 2019. And let's get straight to the big news. The big news in the sports world for the last week has been none other than the NBA Finals. We are three games into the NBA Finals as of this recording, and the Toronto Raptors are ahead 2-1, which is both surprising and not surprising at the same time. It's really, really strange. In case you've been living under a rock, the Raptors won Game 1, the Warriors bounced back to win Game 2, and then the Raptors came back to win Game 3 on the road. The major caveat there, really throughout the entire series, has been that the Warriors are missing Kevin Durant, and in Game 3... they were missing Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and to a lesser extent, Kevon Looney. Now, in their absence in Game 3, Steph Curry was phenomenal. He had the best game of his postseason career. He was aggressive. He was efficient for the most part until the fourth quarter. He was efficient. He was keeping Golden State in the game. It was a truly magnificent performance. And if Warriors fans weren't so goddamn obnoxious, I could probably appreciate it a little bit more, but I want the Warriors to lose so badly because their fans are just awful. They're just awful. They're loud. Like I said, they're obnoxious. They're arrogant. And the Warriors players are that way too. And I don't hate the Warriors players as much because they have a right to be arrogant because they're really good. But last night was really... Game 3 was really just an example of Steph Curry. I'm not even going to say, like, the Warriors have so much talent that it's not even like without Durant and Klay that they're the Phoenix Suns or some other shit team. Like, they still had Draymond Green. They still had Andre Iguodala. They had Boogie Cousins, who certainly is not, you know, all NBA Boogie Cousins, but he's still not a horrible player. Like, you know, they still had some guys around Steph, and it was weird to see Steph have to go all out from the very beginning of a game to give the Warriors a chance to win, and that was really the first time I've ever seen that, because the Warriors are usually so stacked, Steph gets to pick and choose his spots, and he wasn't able to do that, and the result was a double-digit loss, despite the fact that Steph was absolutely phenomenal. And it was the exact opposite, going back earlier in the series, to really the first two games, where Steph was, in game one, he had 34 points, but it was a really, really a quiet 34 points. And a lot of it was because he was flopping to get to the line. He only took 18 shots. He only made 8 baskets. The Warriors lost that game. And he was pretty quiet in game two as well. He was 6-17. He didn't have a great game. And game two, I think the Raptors are really, really going to regret not winning that game because it was at home. They had a chance to go up 2-0 on the Warriors. Steph didn't have a good game, despite the fact that the big storyline from that game, as everybody who's been following the series knows, was that the Raptors ran a box and one defense in the fourth quarter to try and slow down the Warriors and Steph, and it worked. It's just that it worked. The Raptors outscored the Warriors in the fourth quarter of Game 2, and they held the Warriors to just 21 points in the fourth quarter. Steph didn't attempt a single shot. He didn't attempt a single shot, didn't score a single point, didn't have a single rebound or assist, and the Raptors still couldn't close it out. Now, to the Raptors' credit, they took advantage of a quote-unquote depleted Warriors team in Game 3 like they needed to. So they're ahead 2-1. It's been, as a guy who, as everybody knows, is not a very big Warriors fan, I've been down this road before, and I've seen the Warriors go down 2-1 in a series before, and it doesn't usually end pretty for me. And the history, the statistics back that up, because the Warriors, three times under Steve Kerr over the last 5 years, have fallen behind 2-1 in a series. In 2015, in the conference semifinals against Memphis, they went down 2-1, and they won the last three to win in six. The same year in the finals, notoriously against a horribly depleted Cavaliers team, they went down 2-1, and then they won the last three games. And as everybody knows, in 2016, in the conference finals against the Oklahoma City Thunder, they went down 3-1 and came back to win. So every single time they've been down 2-1 in a series under Steve Kerr, they've come back to win the series. So I'm not jumping up and down in celebration, despite the fact that, you know, the team that I hate the most is two games away from getting eliminated. And it's kind of a weird thing. As I was saying at the very beginning of the podcast, I'm sort of surprised that the Warriors are behind, and at the same time, I'm not. And the surprise factor comes from the fact that we're just so used to seeing the Warriors win. You know, we're so used to seeing the Warriors coast to victories, and ever since Durant went down against Houston, and you know, the Warriors closed that series out without him. And then they got a cupcake opponent in the conference finals against Portland. And they swept them. And everybody was kind of like, all right, the Warriors, even without Durant, are going to probably win in four or five. And now the best they can do is win in six. And, you know, it's not surprising at the same time, because the Raptors are a great team. They're a very, very good team. But they still haven't been to this stage, besides Kawhi. Kawhi and Danny Green are really the only two guys in their teams that have been in the NBA Finals before and, you know, aren't new to the stage. And so that's, at least from this point on in the series, now the Raptors are up 2-1. Like, that's, they have the experience there, but the thing that concerns me is, and I'd mentioned this before, like, Siakam is very, very talented, and he's had a few, and he's played well in this series, but he's inconsistent, and we saw that, and we've seen that so far in the series. Kyle Lowry is like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's like a Ryan Fitzpatrick of the NBA, where he'll do good for maybe two or three games, but you just know at some point the other shoe is going to drop, and it's going to be bad. And so far through three games in the finals, Lowry's been decent. He played pretty well in game three, but like, you're just waiting for, let's just say, I'll believe it when I see it, when he plays a full good series. And then there's Fred VanVleet, surprisingly, has continued to play well. I thought that the end of the conference finals versus Milwaukee was going to be like just a huge outlier. He's continued to play well. He's made a few really, really wild shots. He made a wild shot at the end of game one. That was pretty much the symbolic dagger for that game. And then in game three last night, he made a really, really tough shot at the end to basically, you know, tell everybody that the game was over. So he's been a pleasant surprise so far. But again, it's the same thing with Kyle Lowry with him. You're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I'm trying my best as a Warriors hater to not get my hopes up, Because, as I talked about before, the Warriors are experienced. They've been down, they've been in this position before, and every single time they've been in this position, they've ended up coming back to win. And they didn't just, they haven't just come back to win like by the skin of their teeth. They've kicked people's asses after going down 2-1 in a series. You know, and that's something that is concerning. The big mystery is, in it was a mystery going into the series. It's still a mystery right now after three games. When is Kevin Durant coming back? Or is he even coming back at all? Like, what is his status? Are the Warriors still trying to cover up his injury? There's only, who knows? Is he going to play in game four? The Warriors know that they're going to get Klay Thompson back from his hamstring strain. So Klay Thompson is only going to miss one game, barring he re-injures it, because hamstrings are tricky injuries. But, so that'll help the Warriors. But the Durant saga is strange because, the Warriors are being, like I said in prior podcasts, they're being very, very secretive and very specific in the way that they frame things and they word things. And the thing is like, they need him. They need Kevin Durant. They need him to go. They legitimately need Kevin Durant. Because through three games of this series, besides, like, the third quarter of game two, which was just a complete brain fart by the Raptors, which is when the Warriors came back and basically, took a lead. The Raptors had pretty much outplayed the Warriors through three games besides that one quarter. So, like, this idea that Durant was a luxury, and he was like, at least from Warriors fans, the way that Warriors fans were talking about Kevin Durant as if a guy who averages 34 points a game efficiently in the playoffs is just some he's some replaceable. You can just sub him in with Jonas Jerebko and you'll see the same results. Like, no, that's not the case. That's not the case. You can get away with that when you're playing against Enes Kanter and Myers Leonard and Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers. But when you're going against a team with Kawhi Leonard, here's the thing. This is why it would be so much better if Durant didn't fucking go to the Warriors. The last 3 years would have been so much fucking better if he didn't go to the Warriors, because for the first time since Game 7 of 2016 Finals, there's actually some legitimate doubt as to whether or not the Warriors are going to actually win the series. Like, I picked the Warriors in 6 before the series, and I'm still sticking to that. But, like, I'm in years past, if Durant was playing, I would have been like, I would bet everything in my life that if you put a gun to my head, I would say I'd have no second guessing to pick the Warriors to win. But now without Durant, it's like there's definitely some doubt there. And it's even more, I wouldn't say concerning, but if you're a Warriors fan or if you're a Warriors player, Steph played probably the best game of his career, all things considered. And, he's had better stat lines. He's had better, scoring explosions in the regular season against, shitty teams. But in terms of the stage and things like that, I think that was the best game of his career. But he was going all out for 40 minutes or so. Like, is he going to be able to duplicate that? Because, who knows? And I'm trying my best not to mention who plays for the Lakers. Because for the last however many years, when who was going up against the Warriors in the finals, and he would put up these incredible stat lines, and he would come up short because his team just didn't have nearly as much talent as the opponent, Warriors fans just relentlessly shit on him and did all this and that. And just for one game, it was nice to see the tables turned. Just for one game. I wish it was like that for an entire series, but hey, just for one game, it was nice to see Steph have to go all out with a talent deficit and come up short. And we don't know
what's going to happen? Because then, and I mean, no shit, we don't know what's going to happen. That's partly why this series is pretty cool, at least compared to the last, you know, 2 years when they had Durant there. There's some legitimate suspense. But I just have, like, the absolute worst feeling in my gut. Like, and it reared its head in Game 2. I believe that what happens now usually is when the Warriors, every single time they went down 2-1, or whenever they were in a must-win situation, really with the exception of the 2016 Finals, they've always come back roaring and kicked their opponent's ass. And their opponent looked scared and unprepared, or they just didn't have as much talent. But the Warriors would come back and win pretty decisively. And that's what I'm worried about, and that's what I think's going to happen, because that's just the way things are. The worst people always seem to win. And there is some hope to think that, hey, well, Kawhi Leonard's put up a good stat line. He's put up some good numbers in the series so far, but he hasn't had an explosive game yet. He's been living at the line, and he's also been moving around this entire series like he's had a pogo stick stuck up his ass. I mean, there's obviously something physically wrong with him because he really doesn't have any explosion. But he's such a good player that he can still, he can still get, you know, 30-plus points a game despite being hobbled. And the other thing that Kawhi struggles with, and I think a lot of people are finally starting to recognize this, is that he's not a good passer. He doesn't have good court vision. And if you trap him, he struggles to read a defense. And this is why I laugh when people say he's the best player in the world, better than you-know-who. Because if you double-team you-know-who, he'll just dissect you with his passing. And he can score just as well, if not better, than Kawhi. Whereas, you know, you can limit Kawhi, especially if he's injured like he's been for the last month or so. And that's the big difference. And it's frustrating as a you-know-who fan that finally the 1 year he doesn't make the finals, the Warriors fucking get hurt. Okay? Like, the reason the Warriors, and you can say, oh, why are you always making this about, you know, why are you always making this about you-know-who? Why do you always, every single time you're on the podcast, you have to talk about you-know-who? Well, look, right? This entire Warriors team with Durant was built to stop number 23. Those are the facts. So whenever the Warriors struggle, fans of number 23 are going to talk shit. That's just the way it goes, and rightfully so. And when you have a team like Golden State winning a lot, you don't get a lot of chances to talk shit. But when they do lose, like they've been losing 2 out of the last 3 games in the finals, you get to talk a lot of shit. And this entire team went crying to Kevin Durant. The Warriors went crying, and I keep saying this, and I need to keep repeating it because it's something that people shouldn't forget. The Warriors went crying in the parking lot and in the Hamptons to Kevin Durant because of you-know-who, because of number 23. And that's an undeniable fact. It's an uncomfortable fact, but it's an undeniable fact. And it's disappointing that, like I said, the first year you-know-who misses the finals in, what, like a decade? The Warriors, who had been unfairly stacked the last 2 seasons, wasted 2 fucking historically great playoff runs by number 23. He just ran into an all-time unfairly stacked team. And now they're struggling with injuries. Now Durant's out. Now Klay's missing a game. It's very frustrating, and it's annoying. And I'm even more annoyed on a different subject. I'm even more annoyed that number 23 went to the Lakers. It pisses me off. It just pisses me right off. Really chaps my ass. But that's another topic for another day. Like I said, I feel like the Warriors are still going to win in six. However, at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if the Raptors took it to seven games. It's going to be a battle. But I think what's going to happen is, and I've seen this happen too many times, I feel like the Magic Horseshoe stuck up Steph's ass is going to start to work again. I think the Raptors are going to go cold. And, hey, Steph is going to get his. He's going to get his. There's really no way to stop Steph. You just have to hope that he misses. Either you double team him, you triple team him, and you give his teammates easy looks, or you just pray to God that he has an off night. And Steph's going to get his. The key is, what is Klay going to do? How is Draymond going to play? Because Draymond has been good. He hasn't been great. He wasn't very good in game three. And knowing how the Warriors role players and people around Steph always seem to come up big in big moments to bail Steph out, I don't see that changing. So, like I said, Warriors are going to win in six. And I think regardless if KD comes back or not, I think Steph will win Finals MVP, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. If he continues to play, if the Warriors win, I don't see, barring like some epic unforeseen collapse where Steph averages like, you know, 8 points a game or some unprecedented collapse for the rest of the series, Steph's going to win Finals MVP if the Warriors win. Even if Durant comes back. That's just my prediction. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about, as a well-renowned respecter of the troops, if I did not talk about the fact that today is the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Now, as everybody knows, Dale Earnhardt Sr. died on Omaha Beach on June 6, 1944. And he is immortalized in American lore, and rightfully so, for sacrificing his life. He crashed his Chevy into one of the bunkers, the Nazi bunkers. He risked his life, and he truly was a brave hero, and he will never be forgotten. I'm just gonna make this clear right now. There is nobody, and I mean nobody, on this planet who hates the Nazis more than I do. You can sit there and you can brag about how much you hate the Nazis, but no, I hate them more than you. Okay, because I'm a better person than you are. And that's a fact. You may not like it. You may think I'm wrong. But it's an unequivocal, undeniable fact that I am the best person on the planet and that nobody respects the troops more than I do. Especially on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. You're probably saying to yourself right now, what the fuck is this guy talking about? But if you guys didn't know, I'm a history major. And I'm just kidding, I'm not a history major. But I know a lot about history. And when Osama bin Laden bombed Pearl Harbor, I was so pissed off. I remember I was sitting in Starbucks on my iPhone on that cold, windy day in December 1941. And the barista came up to me and said, "Yo, man, did you hear about Al-Qaeda bombing Pearl Harbor?" And I remember I fucking slammed my fist down on the table. And I said, "Al-Qaeda is a bunch of fucking jerks." And everybody within a 500-foot radius immediately stopped what they were doing to give me a round of applause. And it was one of the most humbling experiences of my entire life. It's just interesting to me that you don't hear any stories about Obama talking about how bad Pearl Harbor was. It's just funny to me. It's just one of those things that the liberals don't want you to talk about. They don't want you to think about. But on this podcast, we own the libs, and we own them hard. We own them. We go hard in the libs with no rubber. And that's a fact. And I will never stop going in on the libs. Unprotected, raw, balls deep. And that's what this country was founded on. People think, oh, you know, the rebels and the colonizers back in the late 1700s, they broke away from Britain because they wanted to start a new country. No, no. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, they all hated the Libs, and they wanted to start a country that could defeat the Libs, and that's exactly what we did in the Revolutionary War. We fucking beat the shit out of wherever Britain is. I think it's near Australia. I don't know. But wherever Britain is, we beat the shit out of them on our turf, and those motherfuckers now have the audacity to prance about their prince and their princess and this and that. Nobody gives a fuck, all right? No, why do we care, okay? You're just trying to make people forget that we kicked your ass 300 years ago, okay? And it's not going to work. It's not going to work for me, okay? You can get away with that with other people, but it's not going to happen with me. And it's not going to happen to my followers and my listeners, because me and my listeners are good people, unlike the Brits and the Libs. Sorry, folks, I just have to take a break. I have to get a drink of water because I'm owning the Libs so hard right now. That's right, I just had liberal tears. Oh, it tastes so good. Oh, yeah. Now, you're probably sitting there saying to yourself, what the fuck is this guy doing? What the fuck is this guy talking about? He's gone off the rails. He is absolutely batshit insane. And you know what? You're absolutely right. But at the same time, this is America, and this is a free country, and I have the right to speak what I want to speak. And I'll tell you a quick story before I end the show, or end the podcast. I remember back at my old job, I was working at a movie theater, and I overheard a couple teens who happened to be African-American. I overheard them say the N-word to each other a few times. And I went up to them and I said, yo, guys, you got to stop saying that word. That's not cool. And they called me a cracker-ass mayo boy. And I cried. And I'm not afraid to admit that I cried. I cried like a little bitch. But after 5 minutes of crying, a little boy came up to me and said, I heard what you said to those guys, and you inspired me to become a better person. And I asked what that little boy's name was, and you know what he told me? He said his name was Barack Obama. And that little boy grew up to be the 44th president of the United States. So you can criticize me, you can say all this mean shit about me, but I have inspired presidents in the past. And it's not even a contest. I am that influential. All right, so let's venture back into the sports realm. There's really not much else going on in sports right now. There's no NFL games. It's kind of in the dog days of Major League Baseball. However, I think that tonight is the night that the Patriots get their ring ceremony. And I just want to know, are they going to invite D. Ford? Because without D. Ford lining up offsides, the Patriots would have lost. They would have lost in the AFC Championship game. Tom Brady would have ended the season with a season-ending interception. That's the second time in the last three fucking years Tom Brady's gotten away with throwing a season-ending interception that ended up in a season where the Patriots won the Super Bowl. I'm not going to go on a Tom Brady rant. I've gone on plenty of those before. Everybody knows where I stand. He's the most overrated athlete of all time. He is the most overrated and luckiest athlete I've ever seen on a consistent basis. Steph Curry is second. But it really, really sucks to see the Patriots get rewarded, because like the Warriors, they just have a horrible fan base. And if you're a Patriots fan and you're listening to me, I apologize, but not really, because I have a personal history there. But I'm not going to get into that right now. But it sucks to see the Patriots win. It sucks to see the Warriors win. And unfortunately, they win a lot. So, God, if you're listening, please just fucking make the Warriors lose. For Christ's sakes, they win enough. They win all the time. They're this most spoiled, bandwagon, bitch-made, obnoxious fan base. Just please have them lose. Please don't have the Patriots win another Super Bowl next year. That's all I ask. I don't have much going on for me in life. I don't have much to look forward to, but Jesus Christ, God, just please, just give me this one fucking thing. One time. Please, just grant me this one fucking wish. One fucking time. That's all I ask. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break down there. I was just a little emotional. Sorry.
That'll end this podcast episode. Sorry, I'm just wiping tears from my eyes. Don't forget to check out... Well, I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm too emotionally distressed right now. Just remember that Cardi B is a rapist. And that subscribe and give this podcast a 5-star rating. Stay classy and respect the troops. Ugh. Man, that was a tough scene right there. Thank God I got through it. Yeah, I'm probably going to go to Hooters later. Luckily, this isn't recording, so nobody will see that I wear dresses. What? Oh, fuck.
There's a time in our lives when we must listen to the oppressed and realize we've been keeping women down. They have power and they have courage.
And we must all stand by the belief that a woman is strong and she has the right to queen.
Fly free, free to queen, aloud, fly free. Let every queen show that you're proud.
You face so many challenges to put an end to your grief.
You're a woman now, and you are free to queen.
It's time for equality. We must give them the respect they deserve.
They're just the same as you and me. Their rights must be preserved.
Queen free. Every woman has the right, queen free. Let your queeping star shine bright. You are woman, hear you roar.
Queen free.
Queeping too loud to ignore. Queep a little each day and let your soul take flight.